Maseches Bava Basra, Daf Yud Gimel, 17 lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Beis and Beis, and the Gemara will discuss various dinim that are relevant to two brothers that receive the Yerusha from their father. And certainly we know that if two brothers receive Yerusha from their father and neither of them are a Bechar, then certainly when splitting up their Yerusha, they each will receive a complete field, and one brother can't say to the other that I want to take 50% of every single field, as certainly each brother has a right to get a complete field, as that would make it easier for him to work that field and be much more profitable. And our Gemara begins at Amar Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua that Pshita Chele B'chav Chele Pashat Yavinu Le'achad Metzra, that if Yaakov dies and he leaves over three fields, let's call them Field A, Field B, and Field C, and there are only two Yarshim, Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven is a Bechar, and therefore has a right to get Pishnayim and has a right to get a double portion. So certainly Reuven has a right to say to Shimon that since I'm a Bechar, therefore I have a right to two Chalakim, I want both of my portions to be right next to each other, as that would make it much more convenient for me to work both of those fields, and it would be much more profitable for me, and therefore Reuven would take Field B, and then it would make a girl as to which one of them should get Field A and which one of them should get Field C. And for example, if Reuven receives Field A, then Reuven will have Field A and Field B, and they're both next to each other, and Shimon will have Field C. And if Reuven receives Field C through the girl, then Reuven will have Field B and C, and they will be next to each other, and Shimon will have Field A. And Rashi explains that they're both considered his portions, and therefore we look at it as one portion, and he has a right to get both portions in one spot. And similar to the case that we previously gave, where there are only two brothers that were both a pashut, and there were no becharim, and Ayin Tezid Yomatzchol Chel Bechor Vechel Pashut Yavin Le'achad Metzra Kenaf Kolam Biyesh Neichlin. And Tesis brings this from a pasuk based on the Gemara that we will have on Daf Kuf Chav Dalam and Aleph in Yesh Neichlin Midichsev Pishnayim Umakish Chel Bechor Lechel Pashut. And our Gemara continues that although Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua taught us a din that was pashut, however Zok Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua Yavam Mai, what would be a din by a Yavam? And for example, if Reuven was married to Rachel and then Reuven dies without having any children, and Rachel now is required to have either Yibum or Chalitza, and Reuven has multiple brothers, and Shimon decides to do Yibum to Rachel, so we know that the pasuk teaches us, and we learn out from that pasuk that the brother that does Yibum has a right to a second portion from their father's estate. And for example, if Yaakov dies after Shimon already did Yibum, then not only will Shimon get his regular portion of the estate of Yaakov, but he'll get an additional portion, and he'll take the portion that Reuven should have received. And Rav Huna b'Rabbi Yeshua's shaila was that in a chaname b'digei a regular bechor, then certainly we give him both of the portions in one spot, and the other brother cannot say that you should take field A and field C. And as we explained previously, however, b'digei yavam, maybe we don't look at this as one portion, and maybe we still look at it as if the yavam is receiving his own portion, and then he's receiving the second portion, which is Reuven's portion. And therefore, as Rashi says, mi matzu amalei, could Levi say to Shimon, since the only reason why you're getting this portion is based on Reuven, I don't have a responsibility to give two fields to you that are right next to each other and that are contiguous to each other, unless you pay me for that right. And the Gemara continues, and Abai explains, he, that there is no difference between the case of a regular Bechor and the case of a Yavam, and my time, and what is the reason? Because Bechor Kai Rechmana, the Torah calls the Yavam a Bechor, and therefore he has a right to demand both of his portions, that the field should be contiguous to each other and they should be next to each other. And where do we find that the Torah calls a Yavam a Bechor? As we brought in the Pasuk, that the Pasuk states, V'hoya Bechor Shetelid Yokam Hashem Ochav HaMes V'loyimach HaShemayim Yisrael. And even though the Pasuk of the Pasuk is talking about the child that is born from the Sibum, however, as Rashi brings down, that the Gemara Yavamis teaches us that when the Pasuk says V'hoya Bechor, is referring to the Yavam, and the Torah is teaching us that the mitzvah of Yibum L'chatchila is with the older brother, and as Rashi says, the mitzvah begadol yabim, and then when the pasuk says asher teled prat la'ilnis, and the pasuk is telling us that the yavam has a requirement to do yibum as long as Rachel is not la'ilnis, v'hachim midrash kra, and this is the way to understand the pasuk yavam yavi oleha v'hoya bechor izim yavam and yavi oleha, which one of the yavam and which one of the brothers should do beer with her and should do yibum with her habechor asher teled kagoyin she yavam bas vladis, and the only time this requirement applies is only with a woman that could have children. However, prat la'ilnis, and this comes to exclude the islands, and the pasuk states, Yokam Hashem Achav HaMeis, that when their father dies and there is Yerusha to split up, then he will receive a double portion and the Yavam will be considered Bechar and will take a second portion in the Yerusha. However, the Gemara continues, Rava Amar and Rava states Amakra that the Pasuk calls him a Bechar, but the Pasuk states Mahoya Bechar, and therefore it's Mashma Haviyasa Ke Bechar, that in Chanami he has rights like Bechar, and therefore he gets a second portion, Ve'in Chalukasa Ke Bechar, but it's only at the beginning that he has a dinner of Bechar, but there's no right for him to split up the Yerusha like the dinner of Bechar. And we look at it as if he's getting two separate portions that are considered a chelik of Pashut, and therefore the din Torah is that all the chalakim of the father's estate would go into a geirel. And if the yavam specifically wants to make sure that he receives two chalakim that are right next to each other, then he should make a deal with his brothers in order to accomplish that, and it shouldn't go into the geirel. And the Gemara continues, Ahu dezavin ara mitzvah dvei nasha, that Reuven bought a piece of property right next to his father's property, and kikapogu, and then the father died, and the brothers came to split up the karka of the father. And let us give an example. Reuven bought property A, and when Yaakov died, he left over property B and property C, and property B was right next to property A that was owned by Reuven, and Amalei, and Reuven says to his brother Shimon, Pligali amitzroi, that now that we're splitting up the estate, I want to keep property B, as certainly that would be easier for me, as now I would have property A and property B that are right next to each other. And Shimon says to Reuven that I don't have a responsibility to give you that kaka, and the only way that you have a right to that kaka is by going through the standard din of Yerusha, and let's make a girl, and if you win property B, that's fine, but if you don't, then the only way that I'll give you property B is if you pay me for that right. And the Gemara tells us, in this scenario, we will be kaifan midistayim, and we will force Shimon to give Reuven property B, as this is a case of Zen Nen of Zalei Chasa, and the Pasuk states B'negeid Anshei Sdoim that Roim V'chatoim Ma'oid, and L'maisa, if Shimon will give Reuven property B, then that would be Hanah for Reuven, and Shimon doesn't have any loss, as ultimately Shimon is getting an equally valuable property, which is property C. However, Maskev L'Rabbeisa, Rabbeisa asked the following question, that Amrulei, L'maisa, how can you say Zen Nen of Zalei Chasa, if Shimon could say to Reuven, Achi Malin Le Aluye, K'nichsid although it's true that there's a benefit for you to keep property B, but we also like property B as we believe there's intrinsic benefit of this actual Sada, and we'd rather have property B than property C, and therefore it is chaser, and the din of Kaifet Namil Distayim should not apply. And as Rashi explains, that property B has such value to us, just like the value that Bamerion, who was a very wealthy person, placed on his kaka. And Rashi continues in that it's misavra. We're talking about a case where Sada B was a Sada Beis Habal, which would grow based on rainwater, and therefore Shimon could say to Reuven that Lemaisa, there are going to be times where there will be so much water that will be better for this field, and therefore I want field B as well, and you can't tell me that's a case of Zenen of Zelichasar. And the Gemara states, V'hilchus of Rabbi Yosef, that we're passing like Rabbi Yosef, that in this case there is no taina of Zenen of Zelei Chasa, and you can't be kaifin al midestayim. And the Gemara continues with another case, Trei Arata Trei Nigrei, and Rashi explains that once again in this scenario, Reuven bought field A that was right next to his father's field, and then the father died, and the father left over field B and field C, and the produce of both of these fields did not grow based on rainwater, and it grew based on having irrigation canals, but both of the fields had an irrigation canal, and therefore both of those fields had equal value, and Reuven says to Shimon that now that we have these two fields and they both have an irrigation canal, I want to take field B as that would be right next to my field, and you should take field C. Once again, in this scenario, Rabba once again says, certainly over here, since the fields are not growing based on rainwater, therefore, how could Shimon have a taina to Reuven that one of the fields is better than the other? And therefore, certainly we should say, and certainly Reuven should be able to get field A and field B. However, Maskevul Rabbi Yosef once again asks a question that Lemaisa, you can't say this is a case of Zenen of Zalei Chasa, as Shimon could say to Reuven, Zimnin the high midville, the high loy midville, that Lemaisa, I'm concerned that if I will receive field C, there's a possibility that that irrigation canal will eventually dry up, and therefore I would rather split up both fields equally, and therefore I will have access to two irrigation canals, and I want to split up the fields that I will get part of field B and part of field C, and you will also get part of field field B and part of field C, and both of us will have two irrigation canals, and this way we'll both be protected that if one of the irrigation canals dry up, then we will still both have access to the second irrigation canal that did not dry up. And once again, the Gemara states, V'hilchos HaKaret B'Yosef, that L'maisa, since Shimon has a tiny Reuven, that there is an intrinsic benefit to me as to how we split up the fields, and I don't want to give you the entire field B, that he could do so, and there is no issue of Kaifin Al Midas Taim, since it's Zenena V'Zeh Chosar. And the Gemara continues with another case, Tate Arata Achad Nagra, that let's say Reuven owned a field next to his father's fields, and then his father died and left over two fields, and once again we have a situation where field A belonged to Reuven and field B and C belonged to his father. And in this case, instead of having two separate irrigation canals, there was one irrigation canal that served both fields B and field C, and therefore Reuven says to Shimon that I want to get field B and you should take field C, and you have no taina that you have a benefit from taking field B, as l'maisa, if this irrigation canal will dry up, it'll dry up for both of us, and therefore in this case, certainly we should say that the kaifin al midas taim. And the Gemara tells us, Amar Rabbi Yosef, that Rabbi Yosef says, in a chanami, kagoin zeh, kaifin al midas taim. In this case, I agree that we would be kaifin al midas taim because it's a case of zenen of zelay chasa. However, the Gemara continues, maskvul abaya. In this case, Abaya asks a question to Rabbi Yosef, Matzi Oma, that Shimon could say to Reuven that I still believe that there is a benefit to field B, and I want to keep field B, as once I keep field B, then you will own field A and field C, and be'ina the afesharise, and this way you will have to have your sharecroppers in field A and field C, and I'll have a side benefit that while your sharecroppers are in your field, they are automatically watching field B, and therefore Shimon claims to Reuven that it is not a case of zenen of zelay chasa, as by you taking field A and field B, I'm losing out, as l'maisa I won't have your sharecroppers to watch my field. And the Gemara responds, v'hilchos HaKaret B'Yosef, and again the halacha follows Rabbi Yosef in this case, and in this case we say that it is a scenario of kaifin al midas taim and zenen of zelay chasa, and the reason is because afu sharisei la milsi, that certainly Shimon claiming that will not get a side benefit and a benefit that is actually being paid by Reuven, that can't be considered an actual benefit, and therefore it's still a case of zenen of zelay chasa, and we'll be kaifin al midas taim, and Reuven would have a right to demand to get field B and not pay any additional money to his brother in order to have a right to field B. And we continue on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, and the Gemara brings another scenario, Chav Gisa Nagra V'Chav Gisa Nahara Palgin Lo B'Kar Nazoil. And Rashi explains the scenario where Reuven and Shimon received an estate from their father, and they now want to split up that field, and this field had the following borders. On the south and west, there was no water at all. However, along the entire western border of this field, there was a river, and there was an irrigation canal that ran along the entire northern border of this field. And Rashi draws a picture of this scenario, and before getting into Gemara's solution, let us talk about the Gemara's problem, that if they would actually split up this field, and they would split it right in the middle, and Reuven would get the top portion, and Shimon would get the bottom portion, then along the top portion of Reuven's field, he would have the entire river, and on the side, he would have half of the irrigation canal, while Shimon will only receive half of the irrigation canal, and he will not have any other water source, and therefore it wouldn't be fair to Shimon. And if they would split this field vertically, and Reuven would take the right side, and Shimon would take the left side, and Shimon would have the full irrigation canal on his left side, and on top he would have access to half of the river, while Reuven will only have access to half of the river at the top of his portion, and therefore wouldn't be fair to Reuven. And also, before explaining the Gemara solution, let us point out that not only is there a maila to be right next to a river or right next to an irrigation canal, but certainly there's a maila to be as close as possible to an irrigation canal, and certainly there's even a greater maila to be as close as possible to a river, as it's very unlikely that a river will dry up, while there is a potential that an irrigation canal will dry up. And as Rashi says, l'fisha nor toiv min hanaga, v'asamach l'mayim toiv min harochok, and therefore, in order of importance, each one of the brothers want to be as close to the nor as possible. The second choice would be to be as close to the irrigation canal. The third choice would be to be closest to the river. And then the fourth choice would be to be close to the irrigation canal. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that the solution in this scenario is to cut the field in 8 equal portions. And to do this, you would actually cut the field and it would look like a pizza pie. The Lashon of Karnazul is to go to your corner, meaning that you cut the field in 4 lines that go to the corners. And then you make another line from the top to the bottom of the field. And you make another line from the right side to the left side of the field, which creates 8 equal portions and 8 equal sections. And let us read Rashi inside, and that will help us understand the Chalukah, as Rashi says, "V'imtachalkenu minatzof l'darim, nimtza kol ha'nor l'echad, v'asheni ein l'ayol naga b'tzvaynoy, u'pa'am mishu yavesh," and there's a possibility that the irrigation canal will dry up, and therefore that's not fair, as we explained. "V'imtachalkenu minamizl chamayiv," and if you split the field vertically, then yi l'echad ha'nor p'nei mizrachay, v'naga p'nei tzvaynoy, u'l'sheni ein l'ayol ha'nor b'tzvaynoy. And even the portions that we split up on the Durham and the Meir side will also be equal, as both Reuven and Shimon will have some in a field that are closer to the river and some in a field that are closer to the irrigation canal. Rashi is really bothered that although it's true that on the Mizrach side we had to split up those two fields and Reuven should get one and Shimon should get one, as this way both of them have equal access to the river, and similarly on the north side we will split it up where Reuven gets part of the irrigation canal and Shimon will get the other half of the irrigation canal, as that of course would make it even. But Rashi is bothered, why don't we say that Reuven should get the right side of the Mizrach where he'll have access to the river, and then he should get two portions on the Durham side, as both of them are not next to the river or the irrigation canal, and this way Reuven will have three contiguous sadeis, and l'chayr that would be better for Reuven, and similarly Shimon would also get three sadeis that would be contiguous, and Shimon should receive the sada that's at the bottom portion of the northern side where he has access to the irrigation canal, and let Shimon receive the entire western side where it doesn't have water. But at least in this manner, both Reuven and Shimon will have three sadas that are contiguous. And Rashi therefore explains that there is also a benefit to be in the position of the top portion of the south side, as although it's not directly across from the river, but it is very close to the river, and that itself is a maila. And therefore, Shimon says to Reuven that it's not fair that you should get that piece, and Shimon wants that piece as well, as that's close to the river. And similarly, Reuven says to Shimon that although the bottom left portion on the western side is not next to an irrigation canal, but it is close to the irrigation canal, and therefore I want that piece, and I don't want you to take that. And therefore, by splitting up this piece of land in 8 equal pieces, and having Reuven and Shimon alternate between each of these pieces, that comes out the fairest way to split up the Yerusha and to split up this field. And before we continue, let's point out a few ideas. Number one, the Gemara brought a story, Ahud Zarin Ara, Mitzvah de Bein Asher, and we explained it based on Rashi, that Reuven bought a field that was right next to the field of his father Yaakov. However, Ayin Tesis is the Garse Barsachi Amri Achvasa, that Reuven's wife's sister said, and him came Bein Asher Hainu Chamav, and if so, we're talking about Reuven's father-in-law, and his father-in-law did not have sons, and he only had daughters, and therefore his daughters were being Yerush, and Reuven's wife was the one that came and had a taina that I want to take a portion that is right next to the field that my husband owns next to this field. And this is the Gersa that's brought in Rabbeinu Gershom, and keep in mind that potentially according to this Gersa, it would come out that maybe the Gemara hold that if he actually bought a sada that was right next to his father's house, and it's not a taina of his wife, but it's his own taina, maybe over there, even Rabbi Yisrael would agree that it would be kaifin al midas taim v'tzarech biyar. Also, the Rishonim are all bothered, and this is brought down by the Shittim and Gebetzes in the name of the Taisas Rosh, that L'chira, why did the Gemara say that there's a din of kaifin al midas taim? If L'chira, at the end of Mesechus Bab Metzia, we just learned the din of Bametzra based on the Pasuk of Hasisha Yashav Atayiv, and L'chira, in this case, why can Reuven taina to Shimon that L'maisa I should get the field that's right next to my field based on din of Bametzra? And the Taisas Rosh states the Hussam Lesley Lekech Midi Bahayara, that in the standard case of Bametzra, we're talking about a buyer that has no connection to this land at all, and he's trying to buy a piece of land, and therefore the neighbor will say to the buyer that I have a major benefit by receiving this piece of land, and you have no connection to this land, so if you want to buy a field, go to anywhere else in the world and buy a piece of land. However, but our case where Shimon does have a connection to this piece of property, as he is a valid Yerush of all these properties, therefore you're asking Shimon to give this up and to give this to Reuven. In that scenario, Shimon could definitely claim that I do have a connection to this field, and the din of Bametzra doesn't apply. And this is similar to the case that the Gemara brought in Mesechus Bava Metzia, that the din of Bametzra doesn't apply in a case where Shutfim owned a piece of property. Also, I am Tesis Dino Masal Kogon Zer Kaifin Al Midas Taim, where he is that if Rabbah holds the concept of kifin amid istayim. So in the first case that we learned on this amid, Amar Rabbi Huna Brady Rabbi Shua, pshita chel b'cha v'chel pasha v'in le'achad mitzra, and Taisit brought that is based on a pasuk of pishnayim makish chel b'chel chel pasha. And why would we have to learn this out of a pasuk if l'chayim we should say that is the din of kifin amid istayim? And Taisit brings an explanation from the Ri, and then Taisit continues v'itzbar mefarish the hadam Rabbi kifin amid istayim that when Rabbi taught us that is the din of kifin amid istayim loy mi din tayir kama this was not a derisive dikadin the bedin hayi yachalim chayis shechinegdai deka kapeda beruchayis as certainly one could say to his fellow that I do have a kapeda and it's not a case of zenen of zelay chasa because I want a specific side and therefore when the Gemara mentioned the idea of kifin amid istayim this was just a takondra banon and that's why in the case of bechor pashut we wanted to explain that in that case it's not a din drabanon but it's a din deraisa. Based on the fact that Umakish Khail Bukhiral Khail Pashat and Taiz continues and actually says a major aside, Va'oyd had the Kaifin al Midistaim Bizenan of Zali Khasa, that the only time we said the din of Kaifin al Midistaim, Hainu Bishikfa Dar Bhatz Khaveroi, Shayna Mailishar, that is only applicable after the fact. And for example, if Reuven went and lived in Shimon's house, and after the fact Shimon comes and asks Reuven to pay rent, then Reuven could say that Lamaisa it's a case of Zenan of Zali Khasa, and therefore I'm not responsible to pay you. However, that even in the standard case of Zenen of Zelay Chasa, certainly if Reuven is about to enter Shimon's house, Shimon could say that I don't want you to go into my house, even though it's a case of Zenen of Zelay Chasa, and we don't say Kaifin al Midistayim, and we force Shimon to allow Reuven to use his home. And since in our Gemara we are not talking about a case where it's after the fact, and the question is how to split up the Yerusha L'chatchila, and therefore, the din deraisa of kifin al midistayim certainly doesn't apply. Element that comes chacham kam hacha the kifin, and the only reason why we said the din of kifin al midistayim in our Gemara was only based on the comes chachamim. V'hashtein lahakshish klal amay yitzukra bebuchar ayin sham. And the Gemara now continues and quotes from the Mishnah daf yud alef from Adalf that spoke about seven different areas, and it stated v'leis hatraklin v'leis hamirin that there are two different areas in a mansion that you can't split up v'leis hashevich and not a birdhouse v'leis hatalis and not a piece of clothing. V'loyas a merchatz and not a bathhouse, v'loyas beis abad and not an olive press, v'loyas beis hashlochin and not an irrigated field, ad sheheben kadei luzeh or kadei luzeh, unless each one of the partners will receive an area that is valuable enough to work by itself or to use on its own. And our Mishnah clearly taught us that partners cannot force each other to dissolve a partnership or to bring a partition action unless the amount of space that they receive after the partition will be enough to be considered a value to them and they will be able to use it in a normal manner. However, as the Mishnah continues, Zeh klal, this is general rule, kol sheyicholek ushmoyel of cholkin, v'mlav ein cholkin, and if not, you can't force a dissolution of this partnership. And our Gemara now begins, ein ben kadei luzeh or kadei luzeh ma'u, that let's say the area of the partnership does not have enough for both of the partners, then what would be the din, and what would be the solution if one partner doesn't want to be partners with the other partner any longer? And the Gemara brings a machlekes, Rabbi Huda Amar, is dina de gudai agud, Rabbi Huda holds there is a din of good Agud and Rav Nachman Omar Lestina the Gude Agud. And what is the din of Gude Agud? Rashi explains Zesh Reitzel Lachlik. If Reuven is the partner that wants to split up the partnership, so Oymul Zesh Shein Reitzel Lachlik, he will say to the one that doesn't want to split up the partnership, Oy Kitzli Damim V'Knei L'Chachelki. Either you should decide to set the price and you could buy me out of the partnership, Oy Ani Ekitz Damim, or I will set the price Ve'et L'Chah B'Chelka, and I will pay you that price and I will buy you out of the partnership. She Efshi B'Shut V'Seich as I don't want to be your partner any longer. And it's mashma from Rashi that they're not making an appraisal, and either Reuven or Shimon will come up with a price, and the other one will have the ability to decide to buy it or decide to sell it to the other partner. However, I and the other Rishonim, including Rabbeinu Geshem, would state that they actually would appraise the property and come up with a value. And then since Shimon doesn't want to split up the partnership, he would have the right of first refusal and he could decide to buy the property from Reuven. Or if he doesn't want to do so, then Reuven would be able to buy him out of the property and this way dissolve the partnership. However, Nachman argues and he says, Les tina de gude agud, and both of them have to remain partners. And Rashi understands the Lashon of good as the Lashon of Ketzitzas Damim of setting a value. you. However, Rabbeinu Gershom learns like Tesis and Masechtas Nida on Daflam Vavim Beis that learns that's a lashon of Mashicha, and each one has a right to be Mashiach Chayfetz towards them, and they would buy out the other partner. And as Rabbi Kvega brings down the Gilin Hashas on the side of our Gemara, lashon Mashicha Kamoy Mishcha Ukechu the Metagmina Negudu Ayin Tesis Nida Daflam Vavim Beis Dibur Maskel Gadya and Ayin Tesis Dibur Maskel Istina the Gudu Yogud Nil Reed Afilu B'dam Yekarim Harbi Yosim Mishavel Yachal Lemlay Oygud Oyogud. That since the value is going to be determined by the parties, therefore, if Reuben really wants this kaka, he could really give a very high price, and that would cause the other party not to be able to match him, and that would allow him to buy this property. Lefi Rava, that would be valid. However, Taisa continues, Ve'in Nila Ritzpa, the MK, Yuchel Salik, Echadis Chaveri, that every time there will be something which doesn't have a din chaluka and one party has more money than the other, then certainly he'll quote a price that he knows that the other party can't pay, and that will give him an upper hand, and that would not be fair. And it seems to be that machlekes between the Ri and the Ritzpa is goof for this machlekes that we just mentioned, that according to the Ri, the one that sets the price is actually the parties that are involved. However, according to Ritzpa, the price is set based on an appraisal and is not determined based on the parties themselves. And the Gemara continues, Amalei Rav L'Rav Nachman, so Rav asked Rav Nachman, L'ditchod da'amrit, l'estina the good ayogud, according to you that does not hold the concept of good ayogud, b'chor posha shenich lanavi and eved u'behima t'meya, keitzat oisin, that let's say a father leaves over Yerusha for two brothers, one is a b'chor and one is a poshet, and he leaves over an eved k'nani or behima t'meya, then how would they be able to split up these items, and how would both of them be able to have a fair share of using these items? And Rav seems to be saying that at least if you have a scenario where there's a behemoth Torah, so you could go and shecht it, and then each one will take the chelik that they have rights to, and for example, a bechor will get 2/3 and the pasha will get 1/3. However, the standard usage of a behemoth Torah is in order to work in the field, and certainly the best usage is to work it in the field and not to shecht it and then go sell its meat and then split up the money. And similarly, you can't split up an eved knani, and therefore, how would you split these items up? And the Gemara tells us, Amalei Rav Nachman responded to Rav, Shani Oime, Oivilzeh Yom Echol Ulzeh Shnei Yomim, that there was no major problem over here, as each one of the brothers will use the Eved or the Behemoth Tmeya for their allotted amount of times, and based on their ratio, and in this case, since the Bechor has a right to 2/3, therefore the Bechor will use the Eved or the Behemoth Tmeya for 2 days, and then Shimon, who is a Poshet, will use the Eved Knani for 1 day, and use the Behemoth Tmeya for 1 day. And L'chir Tzarek Bia, what was the Harbin of Gemara, as L'chir Rav Nachman's response is very Poshet. However, Rashi says, L'hochi Nokad Bechor and Poshet, that the reason why Rav gave an example, when it was a Bechor and Poshet, the Tricha Milsa Liya Shutfim Ba, as in this case, is a greater Tircha to be Shutfim, as Bishlema, if both of them would be a Poshet, and both get the exact same amount and same value, then each one could work the animal or work the Eved Knani for 1 day, or they could actually use the Eved Knani or the Behemoth Tmeya together, and then they would split any profits that came out of that Shutfis. However, once there's a difference between that Shutfis and one has 2/3 and one has 1/3, then it's more difficult to be Shutfim. And Rav Nachman says that even in that case, it's not so difficult to be Shutfim, and the Bechor will use the animal and the Eved Knani for 2/3 at a time, and the Pasha will use it for 1/3 at a time. And when I say even if you Rashi, it doesn't seem to be such a difficult Svara, and therefore what was the Hamina? And Rabbeinu Tam and Taisa Dil Masach Bechor Pasha Shenichlan actually brings a scenario in order to show that there's actually a monetary difference in the case where Reuven, who is the Bechor, gets usage of this animal for 2 days, or this Eved Knani for 2 days, or when Shimon, who is the Poshet, will only have 1 day of usage of the Behemoth Tmeo of the Eved Knani. And as he states, Av Bechor Poshet Kashalehim Yavid L'Bechor Beis Yomim Harin Not L'Bechor Yosef Pishnayim. In that case, the Bechor is actually getting a benefit that's more than Pishnayim Shem Yesh Irichoykom Halchim Echad Shem Estakim Barhabe, as if there would be a city that's a day travel away, and you could go and make a large profit. And since the Poshet only has use of the Eved Knani, or this animal cannot reach there in order to get back and return the animal, return the Eved Knani to his brother, and meanwhile the Bechor would be able to go and travel for a day, go buy merchandise and return the next day, and this way he would actually be able to profit much more than the Poshet, and therefore Rava felt that it's still unfair, and this would not be a valid way to split up the Yerusha. However, Rav Nachman responds to Rava, and he says that we still split up this way, as even though there is an extrinsic benefit, however, intrinsically, they're both getting the exact same amount, as Reuven, who is the Bechor, is getting usage for 2 days, and Shimon, who is the Pashut, is getting use for 1 day. And in the Chinami, there may be a side benefit, but this is still a valid way to split up the Yerusha. And Ayin Taisis, who brings another Pshat from the Ri, asked to explain why the Gemara gave an example of Bechor Pashut and didn't just give a very simple example of two brothers who both received one chalik and there was no Bechor, and for example, that the oldest child was a daughter, or there was originally a Bechor and he died without children. And before we continue, let's just read the Lashon Ramban and the Lashon Ri Magash. As Ramban says, Pirish Rashi Zal, that there's a Tircha, and Ramban says, Ve'in Yedei Ma'u Tirech Zeh, what type of great Tircha is there? And therefore the Ramban states, V'yesh Mefarshim L'hochi Naka Bechor Pashit, L'fi She'en L'hem Lachlik B'dom, She'en HaBechor Neitel B'roike B'muchzik, Ve'af HaPi Shabahim M'muchzekes, Kivin She'tmeya Ve'in HaMedes Al Nischar, Havalei Roy, Ayin Shom. The Lashon Ri Magash is, Klema Bishleim Pashit Pashit, Kivin Shavul Chulkein, Efshid Havalu Malacha, the Mitzdafil Tamayu, Ve'shtamshi B'hai Eved, U'behim HaTmeya, B'hadi Adodi, Al Bechor Pashit, Le Shavul Chulkein, Hechi Abdi, Ayin Shom. And the Gemara continues, and will ask a question of Rabbi Huda, who holds as a concept of good or agud. And the Gemara will bring a question from the Mishnah Masechtas Gittin, which is a Mishnah Masechtas Idyas as well. As the Mishnah states, Misha Chetzev Eved V'Chetzev Ben Chayrin, if Reuven owned an Eved Knani, and he would be Meshacher half of the Eved Knani, and now this Eved is a Chetzi Eved and Chetzev Ben Chayrin, Oved is Rabbi Yemecha, Ves Atzma Yemecha, Divir Beisol, then Beisol originally stated that the Eved Knani will be required to work for his master for 1 day, and he will then be able to work for himself for 1 day. However, Beishami states, the concept is Rabbi, that even though monetarily you were able to be misakin his master as atma loyta kantem, but you were not misakin the actual Eved Knani, as Lisha Shifcha in Yachol, as this point, he cannot marry a Shifcha because of the tzad that he's a Ben Chayrin. And of course, once an Eved Knani becomes a Ben Chayrin, then he becomes a Jew, and a Yisrael cannot marry a Shifcha, as there's an Issa of Lysia Kadesha, Lisa Bas Chayrin in Yachol, and since he's also partially an Eved Knani, so he also can't marry a regular Jew. And if you're going to tell me Yivatol, they should just not have children. The entire world was created in order to propagate the world and in order to have perivivya. Shenem, as the pasuk says in Yeshaya, leisovura l'shavis yitzara, that Hakadosh Baruch Hu did not create the world to be desolate, and he created it in order to inhabit the world. And therefore, even if you will say that he's not chayev in the mitzvah of perivivya because he's an oinis, as Tezis states, Kadesh is chayev bo loikafino l'rabbi l'asseisa ben chayrin, and just in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of peruvu, we would not force the master to free his Eved Knani. Then came b'chalavodim nokif rabim l'shachram kadesh she'chayev b'chol mitzvahs. As if we would actually force the master to go and free this Eved, then we should also force every master of an Eved Knani to free every Eved Knani, as at that point they'll be chayev in all the mitzvahs. And therefore, it re-explains that the Gemara did not bring the pasuk b'negei peruvu and l'kach nokakra l'sovra. That's why we brought the pasuk of l'sovra l'shavis yitzara mishum shi mitzvah rabba, in order to tell us that this is a great mitzvah, and for this mitzvah we will be kaifinus rabbi. And as Beis Shammai continues, element play tikkun olam, and because of takanas chachamim kaifinus rabbi va'isnayis ben chayrin, we force the master and we require him to give him a get shichra and make this Eved Knani of ben chayrin the kaisin shtar chetzi damav, and certainly the Eved Knani still is responsible to pay for that value, but we would write a shtar chayiv, and eventually he would have to pay his master back for that amount of money that he owes him for half of his chayris. And the Mishnah continues, v'chazu Beis Hillel l'hiris kedir Beis Shammai, and l'maisa eventually Beis Hillel retracted their original shita, and they paskel like Beis Shammai, they would actually force the master to free this Eved that was a chetzi Eved v'chetzi ben chayrin. And the Gemara's question is on Rabbi Huda, that l'chayr l'fi Rabbi Huda, that is a din of good agud. So why did Gemara have to say that the only reason Beis Shammai said they would actually force the Adon to free this Eved is based on the chiv of Puruvu, and based on the pasuk l'sovra l'shavis yitzara? If l'chayr this Eved is in a matzav, where does ein b'kadei l'chuluk l'zeh v'kadei l'chuluk l'zeh, and l'fi Rabbi Huda, the din of good agud should apply? And l'chayr from this Mishnah we see that both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that we do not say a din of good agud, and based on the gears that we have at our Gemara, then we just brought down the Mishnah and we're medayik what the question is on Rav Nachman. However, let us see the top thesis on the Figurim Beis, and it's mashma from the Diva Maschal thesis that thesis actually goes time and play tikkun olam halayim play tikkun olam loy shma mina the lastina the god ogud, and thesis is vin taima shani hacha sheina even nicely dom miad el kisli shtal domab. Maybe the only reason why the din of god ogud doesn't apply in the case of the eved is because the eved doesn't have money, and he's not immediately paying that money to the master. However, possibly, if the Eved would actually have money and would want to pay the Adon immediately, so maybe the Eved could force the master to take this money, and maybe we do say the din of good or agud. And why is the Mishnah Rai against Rabbi Echron? And Taisa states, V'yishloima, the mashma mishim b'lo yivatel hu dekaifin, there's mashma from the Mishnah that the only reason why we force the master is in order that he should not be bottled from Peri Rivia, halav hachi, and kaifin b'chol inyan, afilu yitin domim, and it's mashma, if not for that fact, then we would not force the master to let the Eved free, even if the Eved has money at this point to pay off the Adon, and we don't say the din of good or agud, and therefore it's a Raya against Rav Nachman. And the Gemara answers, Shani Hacha, the Agud Ikka, good Lekka, that in the Chanami, generally we would say the din of good or agud, but that is only the case where Reuven and Shimon are both in the position that either one could buy the other one's Chelek. However, in the case of the Eved Kanani, that's a Chetzi Eved, Chetzi Ben Chayin, that even though it's true that the master has the ability to sell the portion that's an Eved to the Eved and allow the Eved to go free, but the master doesn't have the other side of the equation and doesn't have a choice to go and buy this Eved back and make him a full-fledged Eved. And as Rashi states, however, Yochel Liknes Atzmoy, that certain Eved could buy back himself, the late Salacharis, and go out free, Avala Eved in Yochel Leimel Rabbi, Knei Chelki, that the Eved can't say to the master, buy my Chelik, Ja'in Damel Ben Chayin, as there is no value that you could buy in Ben Chayin, Ja'in Eved Ivri, Nimka El Nesheish, as even if you're going to say that the master could buy him as an Eved Ivri, but certainly his Sadchiris can no longer be bought as an Eved Knani, which the din would be La'avadi La'ilam, and the only possibility is for the master to buy him as an Eved Ivri, and Eved Ivri only works for 6 years and not forever. And the Ramban says a similar lashon, but he says as follows, good Lekka, Shezek Knani Hu, the good Eved Knani Lekka, V'oi, Shezek Af L'sheisha Nimka, the Eved Meshuchar Hu, that once this Eved was Meshuchar, he can't even be bought as an Eved Ivri, even for 6 years. And the Gemara continues with another question on Rabbi Yehuda from a Mishnah in Daf Kuf Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. As Tashma, we learned in the Mishnah, Shei Achin Echad Ani VeEchad Asher, if there are two brothers, one is wealthy and one is poor, V'nichlan Aviyah Merchatz Beis Abad, and their father left for them a bathhouse and an olive press, a son L'Schar, Schala Emsa. So if their father originally rented out the bathhouse and the olive press, so then certainly at this point they would keep it with the same usage and they would rent it out, and both the brothers would share in the profits and in the rental payments. And I in the second Taisis on Daf Yud Gimel Beis, where Taisis explains in Ma'ason L'Schar, Lav Dafka Ason L'Schar, that the Mishnah does not mean that it's specifically in a case where the father actually rented out this bathhouse or the olive press for Schar and for rental payments, as the Huadin Afilo Ason L'Atzmoy El Shemoitzi L'Haskar, and really the same did not apply if the father used the bathhouse and the olive press for himself. However, this bathhouse and this olive press was something that was roy to be rented out. However, Ason L'Atzmoy, if the father originally had the olive press and originally had a bathhouse for his own usage and he didn't rent them out, Harei Asher Amul Ani, so the Asher says to Ani, I want to keep the same usage and I want to actually use the bathhouse and I want to use the olive press. And we continue on Daf Yud Gimel Beis, Kach Lecha Avodim V'Yirchatzu B'Mechatz, so go take your Avodim that they could heat up the bathhouse and you'll be able to use the bathhouse, and Kach Lecha Zesim, and go take your olives Ubav Aseh Beis Abad and go and press them in the olive press. And Lemaisa, you can't claim to me that since I don't have a Avodim and I don't have olives, therefore you want to force me to go and split up the olive press or split up the bathhouse, as a father used it as a bathhouse and used it as an olive press, and I'm keeping the same use. And Lemaisa, once again, we see from this Mishnah that the Ani cannot say to his brother that I want you to buy my portion and I want you to pay me half the value of the bathhouse or of the olive press. And Lemaisa, you see that we don't say the din of good or agud, and therefore it's a question to Rabbi Yehuda. And once again, the Gemara answers, Hasam Nami good ikka or good lega, that in the Chanami, in a normal scenario, two brothers can force each other to go and split up the property, and one could force the other to buy them out, but that's only where they're both in an equal position, as both of them have the resources to buy the other one out, and therefore Reuven could say to Shimon, either you buy me out, or I'll buy you out. However, in this case, in the Chanami, the Ani could tell the Asher that you should buy me out, but ultimately, the Ani doesn't have the resources to pay that amount to the Asher, and therefore, as Rashi says, Lefichach in Yachal Chayfai, therefore, the brother that's an Ani cannot force the brother that's an Asher to buy him out. And the Gemara continues, Tashma, let us bring a raya from Braisa against the Shita Rab Nachman, and we will see from this Braisa that we do say a concept of good and ogud, as the Braisa states, Kol She'ilu Cholik U'Shmoyel of Cholkin, that if there was any item where if you split it up, it would still have its original name, then either party can force the other one to split up that item, and they could force a partition action, and they could force the other party party to dissolve the partnership. However, the Brisa continues, Im lav mal eisa bedamim, if when you would split up the item and each portion of this item would not retain its original name, then one shutif could say to the other, that good or good, that either you will set a price in order to buy my share of this item, or I will have the right to set the price and I'll buy your portion of this item. And clearly we see that we have a concept of good or good, and the Gemara states that in a Kanami Tanoi, that this is based on a Machloikas Tanoim, and Rav Nachman holds like another Tano, the Tanya as we learned to the Brisa, that if Reuven and Shimon are partners in an item that's in by Din Chaluka, and Reuven says to Shimon, Tul at Shir Bani Pachos, that I will allow you to take the actual amount of the property which will give you a Shir Chaluka, and the Shir that I will give you will have Shmoyalov, and I will take a smaller portion, and even though I will actually get a smaller portion, I'm happy to do so because I don't want to be a partner. Then the Tana Kama says, Shemulai, that we do listen to Reuven. However, the Brisa continues, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer in Shemulai, Rav Shimon Gamliel states that we don't listen to Reuven, and Reuven can't force Shimon to take this larger chalik. And the Gemara now explains, Hechidami, what is the case, where does Machlik is between Tana Kama and Rav Shimon Gamliel, as Elema Kedatani, if you're going to tell me it's exactly the way we just learned in the Brisa, then my time with Rav Shimon Gamliel, then why would Rav Shimon Gamliel say that Reuven can't give Shimon a larger portion if Lemaisa Shimon is now going to get Kedei Chalukah, and why would Shimon be able to protest and be able to force Reuven to remain his partner? And the Gemara states, El lav chasur mechsor v'hachik tani, and it must be that we're missing a part of this Brisa, and the following is a way to understand the Brisa, that if Reuven says to Shimon, Tulat Hashir v'ani pachay shaymeloi, that I will allow you to take a larger share of this property and you'll have Kedei Chalukah, and I will take a smaller share, then certainly we would listen to Reuven, and Reuven would have a right to dissolve the partnership in this manner. And the Tana Kama continues, V'gudei ogud nami shemin lei, and even if Reuven doesn't give Shimon a present, and instead he says to him that I will either buy you out of your chalik, or you will buy me out of my chalik, then the din is that we would listen to him, and we see the Tana Kama holds as a concept of gudei ogud like Rabbi Yehuda. However, as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel lemeimer, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, ein shemin lei, then in the case of gudei ogud, we would not listen to Reuven, and you can't force a division of a property based on gudei ogud, and we see that Rabbi Nachman holds like the sheet of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And the Gemara continues, Loi, that not necessarily would there be a raya for this Brisa, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel actually holds that we don't see the concept of gudei ogud, and not necessarily we have a raya that Rabbi Nachman could hold Rabbi Shimon Gamliel as La'ilam Kediktani. Really, we could say the Brisa is exactly as it seemed, and even though Reuven told Shimon that you could take a larger share, and you would actually take a share in this item that is Kedei Chaluka, and even so, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds that Reuven cannot actually force Shimon to take this item. And as the Gemara explains, the Ka'amit might time Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and even though you asked, what would be the reason of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel if Lemaisa Shimon's receiving the proper amount and he's receiving Kedei Chaluka, so why can't Reuven force him to take this piece of land or take this piece of property that is Kedei Chaluka? Mishum da Amalei, as Shimon will say to Reuven, Ibid me, if you actually want me to pay for the extra value that I'm getting, lesli d'mei l'meitelach, I don't have any money to pay you, and therefore you can't force me to do so, and matana l'nichli, and if you want to give me this extra share as matana, I don't want a matana. The chsiv, as the pasuk in Mishlei says, v'soyne matanas yichya, that someone that hates taking matanas will have a long life, and therefore you can't force me to take a matana. But in a chenami, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree that if Reuven would actually say to Shimon that I want to buy you out of your partnership and gudei ogud, then in a chenami, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would agree to Rabbi Yehuda that certainly we do say gudei ogud, and therefore we don't have a raya that is any tana that holds like Rav Nachman. And Ridvar is bothered that in the case where he wants to give the extra area to the other partner for free, then the other partner could tain is saying the matan zichya. So lochur, how could a Tanakama argue on this svara? And zok Ritva v'tri milser rabbanon haikra my amribei v'anochon the inu savri. And the proper idea is that the rabbanon hold the b'chiyai gavna lab matani, that this is not considered a matana, and we don't have the klal of saying the matan zichya. The hanos atzmei miskaven shiroitzer pachos, as when Reuven gives extra to Shimon, it's not because Reuven is being a nice guy and he wants to give Shimon a present, but Reuven is actually offering this to Shimon based on his own self-interest, as Reuven doesn't want any partners and he's willing to give up some of his own chalik in order to make sure that he doesn't have partners. The Gemara continues, Amalei Abai le Rabbi Yosef. Abai said to Rabbi Yosef, Hod Rabbi Yehuda de Shmueli, that this din that Rabbi Yehuda said that we have a klal gudei ogud is really not his own memra and is really being said over in the name of his Rabbi Shmuel. And where do we see that Shmuel holds up the concept of gudei ogud? The Tanan, because we learned in the Mishnah that Yud Aleph from an Aleph, Ukisva Kodesh, Afal Pisha Shneim Reitzin Leach Leku, that if you have a scroll of Kisva Kodesh, even if both partners want to split up the scrolls and they want to cut the scroll in half, they cannot do so, as that would be a bezoyin of the kedusha of these svarim. And va'amar Shmuel, and Shmuel explained leshanu be'karach echad. And right now the Gemara's havmin is that Shmuel meant that the only time that we said that if two shufim do not want to split up a scroll, that you can't force them to split up a scroll, is only when they actually have one scroll, al b'shnei kriches cholkin. But if they would actually come to Bezdin and they're fighting over two scrolls, and for example, Reuben and Shimon own a Sefer Yeshua that's in its own scroll, and they own a Sefer Shmuel that's in its own scroll, then even if one of the partners doesn't want to split up their shutfis, then the other partner could force him to split up their shutfis. Now, certainly Shmuel doesn't mean that once there are two scrolls, then each one would get half of each of these scrolls, and Reuben would get half of Yeshua and half of Shmuel, and Shimon would get half of Yeshua and half of Shmuel. And certainly you can't cut up any scrolls, as that would be a bezoyin, and there's no difference if there would be one scroll or two scrolls, and therefore it must be that Reuben will get one of these scrolls and Shimon will take the other full scroll. And as Rashi points out, that certainly it can't be that both scrolls had the same value, and either Yeshua was more valuable than Shmuel, or Sefer Shmuel was more valuable than Yeshua. And l'chayr, the only way that Reuben and Shimon will be able to even out their chalukah is only if one of them pays the other one money for the extra value that he received. And therefore the Gemara brings a raya that Shmuel must hold of the din of good or agud, and we will actually learn the Gemara with the Gersa of Taisus as v'isal k'daitach lestina the good or agud. And if you're going to tell me that Shmuel doesn't hold the concept of good or agud, afilu b'shtei kriches nami, then even if you have two scrolls, then in a scenario where both of the parties do not agree to split the scrolls, then how could it be that you would be able to split them if one of the partners will have to come up with money, and therefore it's really a case of good or agud? And l'chur, we see from here that Shmuel holds of the concept of good or agud, and therefore when Rabbi Yehuda said his shita, he was actually saying over the shita of his Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara responds, Tegemer Salmon b'sheshneim reitzin, that in a chenami, Shmuel was not actually telling us that when you have two krichais, then you could split it even where one of the partners does not want to split it. As in a chenami, he may not hold with the concept of good or agud. And in a chenami, Shmuel was just telling us that if you have two krichais and both partners agree to split them up, then you could do so. And certainly since both of these Nevi'im were written in separate scrolls, therefore when Reuven agrees to take Sefer Yeshua and Shimon agrees to take Sefer Shmuel, then there is no bezoyin, and therefore certainly you can make this chalukah. But in a chenami, if one of the parties would say that they don't want to make a chalukah, then in a chenami, even where there would be two scrolls, one partner would not be able to force the other partner to split up the scrolls, as possibly Shmuel agrees to Rav Nachman that we don't say the din of good or agud. And some agrees Rav Shalmoin, however some agrees Rav Salmoin, and the word Salmoin comes from the end of Rus, where the pasuk says it's v'Salmoin hoiles boyaz uboyaz hoiles oved v'oved hoiles yishai v'yishai hoiles David. And the Gemara continues, Amar Meima Hilchasa is dina de good or agud. Amema hold like Rabbi Yehuda that we do have the halacha of good or agud. Amalei Ashi Lameima. So if Ashi says to Amema, Hod Rav Nachman Mai, what will you do with the shita Rav Nachman? El l'chayr, generally we would pass like Rav Nachman bedini. El l'chayr, we should paskin the less dina de good or agud. And Amalei and Amema respond to Rav Ashi, Loi Shmili, claim Loi Shmili. I don't hold like the shita Rav Nachman. And the Gemara asks, Veloi, how can you say that we don't hold of the shita Rav Nachman? That the father of Rav Bachina and Rav Dim Bachina left them as the Yerusha, two maids, one of them knew how to cook and bake, and one of them knew how to sew and weave, and they came to ask a shayla to Rava as to what they should do. And he said to them, and as Rashi says, and one brother can say, I will take this maid, you will take the other, and I will pay you an additional amount based on the fact I got the better maid, and you can't force him to sell his chelik either. And therefore we see that Rava paskin halacha like Rav Nachman, and he paskin that we don't say the din of good or agud. And the Gemara answers that really generally we say the din of good or agud. However, the whole concept of good or agud is that Reuven says to Shimon, I don't want to be your partner, and either you buy me out of our entire partnership, or I will buy you out of our entire partnership. And for example, either Reuven will keep the entire sada, or Shimon will keep the entire sada. However, the Gemara explains, Shani Hasam, that in the case of Rav Bachinra and Rav Dim Bachinra, it's very different. That both Rav Bachinra and Rav Dim Bachinra want both of the maids, and they don't want to split up the maids. Then by saying that I will keep one of the maids, and you'll keep the other maid, and I will just pay you the difference in value, that is not a din of good or agud, and therefore Rav has said that you can't do this. However, in a chenami, if either Rav Bachinra or Rav Dim Bachinra would have said to the other one, that either you buy me out or I will buy you out completely, and either you will keep both of the maids or I will keep both of the maids, then certainly Rava would agree that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and we would paskin good or good. And once again, the Gemara asks a similar question that we had before from our Mishnah that spoke about Kisvei HaKodesh, and the Gemara will basically have the same Havmina and the same Maskana, and the Gemara asks, "Val Kisvei HaKodesh tabar mi baylu, that b'negei Kisvei HaKodesh, that both of the parties want both of these Nevi'im, v'amash Shmuel le'shanol b'kerach echad, al b'shnei krochen cholkin," and Shmuel taught us that the only time that we said that you can't split up the scroll is only when it's one scroll, and there'll be a bazillion to that scroll. However, Shmuel taught us that if there would be two separate scrolls and there is no bazillion, then one partner can force the other partner to split up the scrolls, and even though one partner will actually have to pay the difference as to the value of one scroll over the other, and we see that we say the concept of good or ugod, even in a case where both partners are getting one of the scrolls, and for example, Reuven is keeping Sefer Yeshua, and Shimon is keeping Sefer Shmuel, and once again, the Gemara answers, Hatei Gemara of Salmon b'shneim reitzin, that certainly Shmuel would agree that in a case where each partner is going to get one of the svarim, then this really doesn't fit into the din of good or ugod, since they're not actually splitting up the entire partnership, as Reuven is keeping Sefer Yeshua, and Shimon is keeping Sefer Shmuel, and the only time that we actually would say good or ugod is only if Reuven says to Shimon that either you take both of the svarim, and you keep Yeshua and Shmuel and pay me for their value, or I will keep Yeshua and Shmuel, and I will pay you for its full value. And when Shmuel said that the din is achleiku, is specifically in a case where both Reuven and Shimon agreed that they want to split it up in this manner, and Reuven said, I will keep safe Yeshua, and Shimon said, I will keep safe Shmuel, and whichever party received the better deal would actually pay the difference to the other party. And Shmuel's whole point is that even though when you have one Megillah and they're written in one Kerach and one volume, then certainly you can't split up a scroll, even if both of the parties agree to do so, as that would be a bazillion for the Kedusha of the Svarim. However, where there are two separate scrolls, then as long as both parties agree to split up in this manner, then they certainly can do so, and we will stop over here.